You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 189 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
Hi, it's Brutal Dave. How's it going?
What's up, Brutal Dave? We also have...
George Tripsis.
Yes, we do. And we have...
And your recurring guest who doesn't have a nickname... Justin, I'm back.
That's a long nickname, dude. I'm sorry. That's not gonna fly.
The guest without a name is your nickname.
The guest of honor.
Yeah, guest of honor. That works.
How's everybody doing? How's everybody's past few weeks been?
Not bad.
Doing okay.
Pretty fantastic.
All right. I've been horrible. So thanks for asking.
All things considered.
Yeah, sorry, that's true.
I know you've been dealing with. Really bad headaches and stuff.
Yeah, it's I'm gonna see a doctor tomorrow. It's okay. We'll figure it out. I've been listening to too much metal is probably what it is.
That's right.
Headbanging too much.
Guard, man.
I'm not 13.
It takes a toll as you get older.
It does.
Give yourself whiplash or something, man.
Yeah. So
acting like a maniac.
Whiplash, yeah, that's right. I saw, speaking of, they did some acoustic show recently, and it was bad. It was really bad.
Or just bad.
Well, it was just bad.
Like bad and like good, or bad
no,
like bad?
Not bad and like good, not in the 80s, but bad as in like, they should have stopped doing what they were doing.
That reminds me, I watched BMX Bandits the other day.
Was that bad as in good?
It's kind of both.
Yeah.
The soundtrack's done by AC/DC.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. That was like 84, 85 or something like that.
Yeah, it's like Nicole Kidman's first movie. She's like 13 or something. It's weird.
Wow. Is it like Pump Up the Volume?
Ish.
Didn't have Christian Slater in it, though, so it couldn't have been 2 years.
No Christian Slater.
Very cool. What else you guys been watching? Let's talk about that first before we... The topic of the evening, of course, I think we're going to talk about video games. Really dive into the new systems, what we've been playing, all kinds of new releases, all that good stuff. But before we get to that, let's talk about what movies and shows we've been watching. There's some show that had a second season start. Have you heard of this? Tell me if you heard about this movie or this TV show. It's called The Mandalorian.
I have heard of that.
I have heard of that as well.
Second season just started. So is everybody caught up, basically?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Episode 3 is getting really, really good, but it should have been longer. I was like, it's over already.
Well, the first episode was 50 minutes.
Yeah.
The second episode was 40 minutes.
Yeah.
The third episode was like 30 minutes.
Well, the second episode should have been 30 minutes, and the third episode should have been 40.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of a trend in the show. Like, they give all the long episodes to the filler nonsense episodes, and, like, the stuff that actually is important and drives the story forward is short.
Yes.
It just makes me think that this should have been a video game more and more I watch it instead of a TV show.
I mean, I would love a Mandalorian video game. Remember the Star Wars Bounty Hunter game?
Mm-hmm.
It was okay, but I mean, if they what they could do now was a game based on The Mandalorian would be amazing. But how cool was it to see?
That's the way the show rolls out its plot lines. It rolls it out like a video game because basically it's hopping from one plot line to the other, and sometimes it connects, and a lot of times it doesn't.
Well, how cool was it to see Bo-Katan in this episode? Do you guys know who she is?
Yeah, it's cool for me. I had to explain it to everyone else.
I know, right? I'm like, oh, that's amazing.
I'm assuming she's from Rebels, but I've never watched Rebels.
Clone Wars and then Rebels, yeah.
Yeah, I watched the first three seasons of Clone Wars, but I never got around to finishing
it. She was later in the series, I believe. Like, maybe, I don't remember how many seasons. They like seven, maybe? Six or seven?
I never got that far into Clone Wars.
Really?
Yeah. I think even if you don't know, you can still enjoy it, though. I mean, they gave a nod to Ahsoka Tano, and I mean...
Yes.
All that stuff's cool, and I know it like adds a little bit of extra for the people that are diehard fans on the TV series, but even without that, it was still really enjoyable. It was definitely among the best episodes of the series so far.
Yes.
Definitely some of the coolest shots, and which is really weird because Bryce Dallas Howard directed this episode.
And there was a complete homage to Apollo 13 in that with the ship trying to land. Did you see she posted about that? She's like, yeah, I paid homage to my dad's movie because when the Razor's Crest was trying to land on the landing pad, it was exactly shot by shot from Apollo 13.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
My only real complaint about The Mandalorian is that it's way too easy for that guy to find babysitters.
Sure. And he's not that... Okay, nothing wrong with a Din Djarin. How do you say his name? Din. Let's call him Din. He's okay. Like in episode two, when they knew they were going to freeze to death, he's like, you know what? I want to go to sleep first before we figure it out. That was weird. I'm like, why? What are you doing?
Well, they were trying to figure it out. Where to take the plot, Kerry?
Well, I guess he was going to sleep on it or whatever. I'll figure it out in the morning.
I'm just saying there's a lot of very convenient things that happen.
Yeah. I mean,
even the police guys from the rebel police or whatever showing up and they're like, well, since you did this one good thing, we're going to let you go. That doesn't happen in real life.
Like, we're going to let you off with a warning since you killed somebody. No.
You know, we had to chase you down into this pit and then save you from a worm monster.
And it was a giant spider, dude.
Yeah, it was a spider. But
spider worm.
They're like, all right. We saved your ass. I guess we're good now. We're even. You know, thanks for breaking our protocols. Don't do it again. Slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Like.
I got the impression that part of that was supposed to be that, like, there's the New Republic is still establishing power.
Sure.
And because there's major regime change and there's major galaxy-wide changes going on, like, they can afford to look the other way on some stuff. I didn't think that hard about.
No, I agree they can totally look the other way, but like, and they didn't want to look the way after doing all the work of following him and like.
They didn't want to fill out the paperwork that would have had to fill out.
Why didn't they just let him go then? They were like, oh, he went into the ice planet. Let's just go the other way. I mean, if they were going to be like lazy cops, be lazy cops. Don't do all the work of chasing the guy down, save his ass, and then be like, all right, we're cool, dude. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's really bad writing.
I can definitely see that. If they didn't come and find him and then save him, the plot wouldn't have progressed, you know?
That's the biggest problem with this show is like the story beats are great. Like the parts where things are actually happening, propelling the story forward are fantastic. But you could have told the entire story of The Mandalorian so far in about 3.5 episodes. Like half of season one didn't need to exist, and half of season two so far doesn't need to exist.
It's like the Netflix Marvel syndrome.
Well, it just show you that they always intended for it to be a TV show or a movie, and then they just had to like change gears when they said, no, we're going to make this into a show.
Yeah, when you have to make a TV series, you have to pad a lot of stuff out. You have to find a lot of filler.
You don't have to, though. There's been plenty of TV series that have known exactly what they were going to do and have hit story beats every episode and not had a ton of filler. And some that have longer run times than Mandalorian does. I mean, for as big budget as Disney is and for as many talented people as are working on this, it should be a better quality show than it is. It's not saying I don't like it. That's not saying it's not super enjoyable.
No.
I look forward to it every week, but it has some major, major flaws.
I feel like that's more apparent. To me, it is more apparent this season than last season. Maybe it was just I haven't spent that much time looking at the form of it. I do feel like the first season flowed a little bit better and was a little bit more fun.
Hmm. Really? This season was a little bit more fun than so far. Because I feel like the jokes are definitely like you could still, like, for me, it feels like they really understand the thread of how they want to tell the audience. It feels like last season they were like, all right, so this time it's a mythology story, and then next episode is kind of like story of the week.
I agree with that.
This season is Mandalorian versus the Kaiju. That's this season.
That's right. True. That's true. But I also feel like they're writing Baby Yoda better. That's one of the few things they are doing better.
Yeah.
Is like in the first season, he was just a plot device and like nothing he did was interesting. They're actually giving him a personality in this one.
He does have a personality. I actually do like that.
I guess, were people really upset about the egg eating?
Yeah.
Because I thought it was hilarious.
I mean,
you know, the instant I saw him doing it, I was like, okay, like Jedi makes sense. Like Yoda living on Dagobah where he has an abundance of frogs to eat. Like, you know, obviously that's food for those kind of creatures.
I mean, shit, we eat eggs, right? What's wrong with that? I mean, we don't eat them raw like that unless you're Rocky or somebody, but I like the playfulness between the child now and the Mandalorian, because you could see like he's like, you don't have to see the expression on his face and he's in a mask. He's just like, no, don't do it. Stop eating those eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You could just, and he's like, and Baby Yoda's like, okay, but I won't.
It's like a weird buddy cop kind of pairing, which works really well. But it didn't work that well in season one because they were just using the creature as a plot device. Now it actually has a personality, and I think that's one of the few things they've done stepping in the right direction.
So I know they're building towards finding the Jedi. Is finding Jedi? Do you think Ahsoka is the one true Jedi that they do find? Because she's one of the only Jedi that I know of that didn't die in Order 66. You know.
I'm pretty sure that she's been confirmed to she's going to be in the season. I think she is confirmed.
Do you think there's going to be more than her?
I'm sure there will be. I'm sure probably. She's been rebuilding, right?
I mean, maybe.
I don't know. We really don't. We don't know a lot. So that's the, I guess, the beauty of it, I suppose.
I'm a little more interested in the Darksaber mythology and how it relates to Mandalore. Like that really piqued my interest a lot more than the Jedi stuff did.
Watch Clone Wars. And Rebels.
Not Clone Wars. Watch Rebels.
Rebels, that's what I meant. They cover the Darksaber in Rebels. And how did what's his name? I can't think of.
Moff Gideon.
Moff Gideon. How did he get the Darksaber? Because
it has to do with something of the thousand tier knight of the Mandalorian.
Because from what I remember from the cartoon, didn't Bo-Katan had it last, right?
Yeah, so that's why she's looking. That's why she said he has something of mine that I'm looking for. She's referring to the
Darksaber.
Darksaber. Because she needs that and to be called the rightful ruler of Mandalore. She's trying to bring everyone back to Mandalore, all the Mandalorians.
And it was interesting how they got into a little bit more the mythology, the history of the Mandalorians, like, because they took off their mask and he was like, what are you doing? Why are you taking off your mask? And I guess he's part of an ancient order that it's super religious and they do not take off their armor.
It's not an ancient order. What it is that they, after the purge, they kind of like had a separate sect where they were saying, because of your newfound ways, it's what caused the destruction of the Mandalorian. So they came up with this new thing called the Children of the Watch, which is kind of like an offspring of the Death Watch from the Mandalorians. Yeah. And basically, they went and took on the ancient ways and said, fuck everyone else. So now, like, there's this giant civil war factions between a whole bunch of Mandalorians. Sorry, let me put my glasses back on, my nerd glasses.
I didn't know all that, so thank you. So it's like a religious, you know.
Thrones for Star Wars, basically. Yeah.
I was thinking that. Or it's like, you know, when different sects, you know, grew off with, like, Christianity because they wanted to do something different, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
So everybody is in agreement that this season's going to get better?
I mean, so far, so good. I liked a lot of this last episode, which says a lot because I hated the last episode Bryce Dallas Howard directed. I thought that was the worst episode.
Which one in season one did she do?
The fishing village one.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Where it was basically Seven Samurai, but not mm-hmm. Seven Samurai, Two Samurai.
That's when they found the AT-ST and all that.
Yeah, well, the raiders that stole the AT-AT or AT-ST, right.
Okay.
So anyway, so far so good. I like this last episode. Hopefully, next episode's good, but I'm kind of like leery about it because it's going to be directed by Carl Weathers.
Oh, is it?
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. That's cool. He'll probably make an appearance in it then.
So maybe you'll get your whisk, Carrie. Maybe Yoda will eat some eggs.
That's right.
Rocky dance.
That's, that's true. He might. I want to talk about a movie that I watched. Finally, I've been looking forward to this movie for months and months and months, and I finally watched it last week, rented it.
Where'd you rent it?
What's that?
The movie you're about to... I think I have an idea of what movie you're about to mention. Where did you rent it?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I'll share my access with you. The New Mutants.
Oh, shit.
Let me preface by saying I am a huge fan of the comic series. I have been since the 80s. It's one of my favorite X-Men series of all time. I enjoyed the movie. I didn't enjoy some of the way they characterized some of my favorite characters. I don't think everybody's like, oh, it's a horror movie. I didn't really feel it was a horror movie per se. It was, you know, everything, not to spoil anything, but everything was being caused by Danielle Moonstar because she has those kind of powers. And it's based off the Demon Bear saga, which was a great series. And they took some liberties, of course. You have to in a movie like this, but... And they did some interesting horror style things, but it wasn't a horror movie like people were saying.
Yeah, they really didn't nail it down when they said that.
No.
I don't think.
I mean, I liked that aspect of it. I liked that it was dark. But I hated, and I repeat, hated the way they made Ilyana Rasputin. I hated the magic. Until the end.
Well, okay. Her powers were great.
Yes.
The way they portrayed her powers was spot on.
Totally.
And Anya Taylor-Joy, like, I don't know if you've watched Queen's Gambit yet or not, but holy shit.
I have not yet.
So good.
I loved her. I liked The Witch, but I mean, she didn't really show off any chops there. But then when I saw Queen's Gambit, I was like, wow, she is super talented.
I didn't realize she was in that movie or show.
She's the lead.
She's the lead. Okay. I'll have to watch it then.
It's probably the best TV series that's come out this year.
Okay. Interesting.
I watched her as Ilyana, and she does a great job in the role. She performs excellently, but they wrote Ilyana as a total bitch.
Yeah,
which is not how
it's like
she is.
It's like Mean Girls. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's very uncharacteristic for her because a lot of the time in the comics, she's very like. I mean, think about how they wrote Colossus in Deadpool, and he's just like a team player. He always wants to help people. Like he's just a genuinely good guy. Ilyana's his fucking sister. She's supposed to be the same way, and it rubbed me the wrong way that she was written as such a bitch. But aside from that and the really bad pacing of the movie, everything else about it was pretty good.
The story
was well done. The graphics were really good. Yeah. The powers were shown off in an interesting way. I liked how Cannonball was struggling to figure out how to use his ability without hurting himself.
Let's talk about Cannonball real quick. The guy who played Cannonball was from Stranger Things. I don't know. I can't think of his name now, but I know he's from Kentucky. I know that for sure, but man, his accent, he was struggling like to get that. It just felt awkward to me.
It does. But I mean, he's also a kid, you know, that's the whole thing. Like the New Mutants are all supposed to be awkward. So a lot of that's kind of forgivable, I feel like. And I mean, you're probably right. He was the weakest of all the actors. Maisie Williams did a really good job as Feral.
Maisie.
Although I disagree with how they portrayed Feral's.
Was she with Wolfsbane?
Oh yeah, she was Wolfsbane. I'm thinking of she was Feral.
I think they called her Wolfsbane in this movie.
No, she was Feral. You're thinking of Wolverine's villain, Wolfsbane.
No.
Feral was the one from X-Force, who originally started in New Mutants.
No. It's Wolfsbane.
Fight.
Nerd fight. Okay, so
stop the podcast. We'll rewatch the shitty movie and then we'll know for sure.
One of the during like the first 20-25 minutes, there was all these little montages and stuff like that. And once you're getting to know the characters, I made this comment to my wife. I'm like, you know what this feels like? It's like The Breakfast Club. Every character you could like associate with a Breakfast Club character, you know? I know Justin's furiously looking stuff up on his phone.
Yeah.
I can see it in his eyes. And I didn't like the way they handled Dr. Reyes, Cecilia Reyes, because she's a good person. She's a good character.
And honestly, you're right. It was Wolfsbane. I don't know why I'm getting Farrell and Wolfsbane confused, but...
It's okay. You can pay me later.
Yeah, well...
Too bad we didn't bet on it.
I still didn't love the way they portrayed her, but... Maisie did a good job,
yeah.
as her human form.
And it was, you know, not to spoil a lot of stuff in the movie, but, you know, there's some nice, you know, LGBTQ stuff in this movie that was never been really in a X-Men movie before, you know?
X-Men's always been very progressive, so I really thought that was a good addition as well.
That, and I'm sad that they're not going to be another one of these because it's not, it's
It was
it's
really
gone.
Poorly received. I think the biggest problem with the movie is that the pacing just wasn't right. They wasted too much time just lingering around the school, nothing happening. Like, it took forever to actually see that they were trapped in the school from that barrier. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just, a lot of the stuff could have been solved with a little bit of exposition and just faster movement.
The movie was reshot and re-edited like a few times before it actually came to the movie.
I actually enjoyed the scenes where they were just hanging out and getting to know each other because that felt very much like the comic to me.
I mean, you have to have that character development or you just don't care about the people at all, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I still feel like there could have been a better way to do it that got the character development but also didn't waste time. There's a lot of wasted time in the movie.
Considering, like I said earlier, New Mutants is one of my favorite series of all time, I'm sort of torn on this movie. I liked it because it was, and they finally released a New Mutants movie after 2 years, you know, but, there's definitely things they could have done better, but overall I enjoyed it. I mean, like everything we talked about, it looked good. I mean, there was a couple spots where they could have like, you know, just sped the plot along, but other than that, I enjoyed it.
It wasn't nearly as bad as the critics and reviewers said it was. I mean,
it's better than the last few X-Men movies for damn sure.
It's as good as like X-Men Apocalypse or something.
Probably better even. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. It's not as good as First Class, but it's pretty close.
I think the First Class, I think, was maybe the last one I watched.
That's probably a good thing. You're not really missing out on
because they did like four.
Pretty good. I don't know what you got.
Okay, I did watch the I don't know what cut it was of Days of Future Past. I did see that. Then that was okay.
I think that was the last good X-Men movie, with the exception of Logan. But
that's sort of different though. So they did four since First Class. They sort of rebooted. There was four of them, right? There was First Class. What was the one after that?
First Class, and then Days of Future Past,
and then Apocalypse,
and then.
Dark Phoenix.
Oh, I totally forgot about that one. That was such a horrible movie. Ugh. Okay, so there was four of them with the same characters.
Yeah. I can't stand what's her name. They put in the lead in that. Sansa. I can't fucking think of her name. She's terrible. She's a terrible actress. Everything I've seen her in, she sucks.
She was good in Game of Thrones.
Not really. Most of the time, she was just crying. That's all she did was cry.
Not all the time.
Not most of the time, truthfully. Yeah, he's right.
We watched different Game of Thrones, I think.
No, we didn't.
The other show I want to talk about, have you guys been watching Fargo, the new season of Fargo?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. It's so good.
I usually don't watch shows that used to be movies. I usually think that's stupid.
I haven't watched the other seasons of Fargo, but... I wanted to watch this because number one, what's up?
Yeah, you like started on season four?
Well, it's not anything to do with the other seasons at all. It's a whole brand new story, a whole new timeline, new characters, everything. So I wanted to see because of Chris Rock, but I was hooked on that very first episode of it. It's really good. It's you know, it's set in 1950, It's about basically like an Italian mob, a black mob trying to steal power from like an Italian mob and everything going on between that.
That sounds very familiar to me.
Yeah, it does sound a little familiar.
Oh, yeah, I guess it would. There's really interesting, a lot of the music in the show, it's like weird jazz drum beats and stuff like that. And there's a lot of really cool, experimental, I want to say, editing, where they use like black bars and they start showing three different scenes at the same time. It's a very interesting show. It's well acted. Chris Rock is really good in it. I was really surprised by him. But the guy that plays the brother that comes in from Italy, Gaetano, that dude is amazing. He's real. I don't know his real name, but that's his character name. But he's fucking amazing. That show is really, really good. There's only one sort of subplot character that I'm not a big fan of, the nurse. I'm not a fan of that plot. They could have just kept that out completely. It's not really fitting, you know, with a lot of the other stuff going on, but, you know.
Sophie Turner. I just remember
her Sophie name. Turner. Yeah.
She's terrible.
All right. I think you guys would like it. I think, George, you would actually like it.
Possibly.
I've got so much stuff to watch, but I might get to it eventually. Erica said the first couple seasons were good, but if I do watch it, I'll start at the very beginning and work my way forward. I've watched a ton of stuff.
And Timothy Olyphant has been pretty amazing in the show too.
He was good in Mandalorian.
He was straight out of Deadwood. That scene.
Oh, speaking of Timothy Olyphant.
Yeah.
I finished The Good Place.
Oh yeah.
The other day. We finished watching it. Yeah.
They just put the last season on Netflix, huh?
Yeah.
I rewatched it when they did that. It's such an amazing show.
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
Did you ever guys watch the Netflix show, Santa Clarita Diet?
Mm-hmm. No.
I liked him on that show.
He was good in that, too. I like Drew Barrymore, so
I do, too.
I watched that for her, but it sucks that it's not coming back.
I know. Yeah. That was a good show.
But another really good show is The Undoing on HBO Max.
Is that the, I think, okay, so I've watched the first episode and I saw part of the second episode as we were going to sleep one night.
They have that British dude in it, right?
It's Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman, and Donald Sutherland. And I got to tell you, Donald Sutherland is like in top gear in this show. Mm. He's fucking amazing. Not that he's not always amazing, but he's great in this. And Nicole Kidman's, you know, as good as she usually is. So.
I think we want to finish. I remember there's like the one shot in the first episode where they're in the girl's locker room. That girl's just like coming up to her all naked. And you're like, she's like all awkward and uncomfortable. I'm like, that's how I would feel. Somebody came up to me all naked and tried to talk to me. I'm like, what are you doing?
Wait till you watch episode 4. Donald Sutherland is like talking to the head of the school who's trying to kick his kid out. He's like, look, you don't understand, but I'm a cocksucker. And I'm not the kind of cocksucker that sucks off dudes. I'm the kind of cocksucker that's old school. He's like, I will fuck up your life in ways you can't even imagine.
Nice.
It's amazing.
It's President Donald Sutherland again from The Hunger Games.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
Wow.
Then Queen's Gambit. I can't rave about it enough.
Okay. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite show this year so far.
Really?
It's definitely my favorite show so far this year. Anya Taylor-Joy, holy shit, she can act.
Is she magic in the show?
She's skyrocketed from near obscurity to like one of my favorite working actresses today, just from that show. Like I'll watch anything she's in just because she's in it.
Wow.
Except for that movie Split and Glass. She was, you know, the movies are terrible.
You can't do much for an M. Night Shyamalan film. I can't really hold her accountable for that.
I didn't watch The Queen's Gambit because I thought it was a period piece about like queens and stuff. And then I heard him talking about it on another podcast. It's about her being a chess player.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I also watched Truth Seekers, which is really, really fun.
I've watched the first, we've watched the first two episodes.
Is that the show on Amazon?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I've been
to watch that. It looks funny.
Nick Frost
you're going to love it, George.
Yeah.
Like, if I loved it, you'll love it.
The first two episodes I saw were a little slow setting up, but
Yeah, I'll agree with that. It's a little bit slow in the beginning because you don't really know where the story is going to go or like how deep they're going to go into it. But as it progresses, it just gets more and more ridiculous. And I mean, there's cults and there's like all kinds of ancient leftover stuff all over England from the war.
Is Simon Pegg in every episode or is it just like periodically?
Simon Pegg just kind of periodically appears until the last couple episodes. And then he plays a bigger role than you expect him to.
Okay, cool.
But it's mostly Nick Frost as the lead. And he does a great job of carrying the show.
And Malcolm McDowell is great in it, too.
Yeah, he's really funny as the dad. All the supporting characters are really good, honestly.
Yeah, we were watching it. It feels like a Doctor Who episode.
It's way better than that. It's way better than that. Don't give it a bad rap.
People like Doctor Who. I'm sorry.
I hate Doctor Who.
It felt very British in that way to me. But like sci-fi British, you know,
it feels like a continuation of what Simon Pegg and Nick Frost have done before.
Yeah,
it's their same kind of humor, their same kind of stories, but told with like a horror, supernatural, sci-fi aspect built into it, even more so than like was in World's End, and done way better than was in World's End. So I think anybody that likes their brand of humor will love it.
I agree on that one. It's something we're going to finish, I think, this week. What about you, David? What have you been watching?
Almost caught up with what is out of Supernatural. I have a few episodes left, but I'm into season 15 now at this point.
Jeez. Have you seen the Scooby-Doo episode?
It's great. The Scooby-Doo.
That's the only reason I wanted to like jump back in was to watch that one episode, but I didn't.
So the Scooby-Doo characters are actually in it, or
they? How to put it? So Supernatural periodically does these like gag episodes, sort of like
one-offs.
But they're all canon. They all are part of. They're all part of the story, but they're like these bizarro episodes. Like there's episodes where they find out that they are a TV show.
Oh.
That's a great episode, actually.
That is a great episode where they find out they're a TV show, but they have these kind of gimmick episodes where like it's these bizarro world things and there's in story reasons for why they happen. But they're often played for laughs and they'll often use these. Now what's funny is they'll use these episodes to kind of like break up tension in a season. If things start getting kind of heavy and drawn out, they'll like throw in a fun episode. And it's usually in the fun episodes that like the hardest, like emotional gut punches happen.
I like the time loop episode that they did, like that, the Groundhog Day episode where, Dean keeps dying over and over again.
I'm trying to remember that one. There's so much material.
Yeah. Well, there's like 12 seasons now.
15. So. I'm in season 15. Yeah.
That's still daunting to me.
But anyway, there's an episode where one of the entities that they have to go up against has possessed a television, and it sucks them into the TV.
Nice.
And they are in the Scooby-Doo cartoon. And so the whole episode from that point on is done like a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Well, that's amazing.
But I do
remember hearing about that when it first came out.
But because it's a Scooby-Doo cartoon with supernatural characters, it's a Scooby-Doo cartoon that suddenly gets a lot more violent and a lot more dark. And so the Scooby-Doo characters don't know what to do about that.
Nice.
like people are actually getting killed and maimed horribly, and there's like actual blood and guts. And so the Scooby gang, they don't know how to deal with it.
So there's no unmasking the ghost. It's actually a ghost.
There's still an unmasking the ghost part of the, because they have to do all that stuff. But the other kind of running thing is that like Dean loves Scooby-Doo, and it comes up multiple times through the show that Dean loves Scooby-Doo. And there's in-story reasons for why, and it has to do with how he came up and all this kind of stuff.
They didn't run into the Harlem Globetrotters, did they?
No, I don't recall that they did.
Not yet.
But yeah, that episode was really good. So I'm doing that. We watched a couple movies. Recently, we watched Ghost Stories on Hulu, which I'm still trying to decide what I think about.
Is that the one with the dude from The Hobbit?
Martin Freeman is in it, yeah. That's so, actually,
I like that. I thought that was pretty good.
I'm trying to decide, because it was... I feel like I need to watch it again. I think there was a lot of it that was really well done, but I'm trying to figure out if the turn was clever or lazy, and I can't decide.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
is it a horror series or like an anthology?
It's a movie. It's a movie.
Yeah.
Okay. But and I like the setup for it a lot. The premise I thought was cool. It's something that would, you know, be of interest to me. That it's the main character is kind of a he debunks like TV psychics and like this, like he's a professional skeptic basically, and he's a professor and all this stuff. And he is contacted by an old, an older generation skeptic, kind of like this James Randi sort of figure who's aged, and contacts him, and he goes and visits him, and he tells him, "Hey, and this guy had disappeared for ages. He's been missing for decades, and nobody knows why." And he contacts him and says, "Hey, I need you to come talk to me." He goes and meets him and says, "Hey, the reason I've disappeared is because I've had these experiences that I can't debunk, and they've messed me up. I can't say this stuff is bogus anymore. So here are the cases that did this. You go figure them out." And so it's these three different cases. And so he goes and visits each of these people and like re-explores each of these cases that were supposed to be unsolvable. You know, there's no rational scientific explanation for any of these things. It's supposed to be this kind of like proof of the supernatural.
Sure.
And then shit happens. And
as it should.
You expect that it's going to go into, okay, weird shit happens that he can't explain, and so this is giving credence to the supernatural thing, but then it continues and makes further twists from that point. And that's the part that I'm kind of struggling with, like how it ends up. I'm like, that I can't decide if it was well done or if it was lazy, and I really can't decide. And but it was an enjoyable enough watch.
Where is it streaming it?
Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Hulu.
That okay. Sounds interesting.
It's pretty good. It's like it, Justin.
I'll definitely check it out. Setup. I need some new stuff to watch setup. This week, so I'll definitely check it out.
So we watched that, and we also watched the Hulu original Little Monsters.
That's fun.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
It was fun. Yeah, I liked it. I wasn't sure if I was going to like it because, like, the main dude is just so utterly unlikable at the beginning of the movie. Like, they really lean into how unlikable this guy is.
What's his name? I can't think of the actor's name. From Frozen and all that?
Oh, yeah.
We're all having brain farts.
He's not the main guy, though.
Are you talking about the brother,
that's not
right?
What I'm talking about.
Okay.
Huh?
Are you talking about Josh Gad Carey?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in it, but he's not the main character. He's barely. Yeah.
Fred
Savage, what?
What?
Oh, that's the wrong Little Monsters.
Yeah, that's the one from like the 90s.
I didn't remember Fred Savage being in there.
Google was not your friend there.
No.
I didn't know who the main guy. I don't think I'd ever seen him.
Okay, I remember him now.
But he was so unlikable at the beginning, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to stick with this, if this is going to be our main guy. But it's worth sticking with. It's a fun movie. And I actually thought that Josh Gad's character was pretty funny in it. Like, a lot of the funniest moments in the movie were some of the lines that he delivered.
I think his name's Alexander England.
Mm-hmm.
The Australian dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a bad movie. It's really funny. It really all comes together at the end, in my opinion.
Yeah, it does.
Again, it's Lupita Nyong'o. She's fucking great. Awesome in everything she's in. So, you know, if you have a great actress in the lead, it can carry
almost
anything.
It's just a strange movie for her to be into. I would never like peg her to be in that kind of movie.
Well, and she like owned every scene that she was in too.
It's really did. We're going to get to this in a minute. Let's get ready to talk about our topic, but I have been playing the new Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So, my wife finally convinced me yesterday. We started watching Vikings. She'd seen it. She's seen it all. So I watched episode one yesterday. So, it's weird when you're playing a Viking game and then you watch the show and then like I've watched Northmen, which I loved, all different in the same way. You know what I mean?
Vikings is really good. I didn't finish the series, but I watched the first four seasons.
I think there's five now.
Yeah, about that? Five or six. I'm not sure. Eric has actually finished it, but I'm a couple seasons behind. But I watched the first few as they aired, and it's really enjoyable. There's a lot of great characters.
It's good storytelling. I think there's only like one season in that show that was kind of like meh. I want to say it was like either season three or four. But for the most part, that whole show is really great.
The pacing in season one's a little slow to get you going, but once it does get going, it's awesome.
It's one of these. I always get overwhelmed by these shows. Like that's why it took so long to get into Game of Thrones and things like that. It's like because they're throwing so much at you, so many new characters and all this kind of stuff, and it takes you a while to get into it. Especially, and they have to like they sort of force hand feed it to you. You're like, okay, here's who this is, here's who that is. You know what I mean? So. But I definitely can see myself getting into the show. And I know I'm late to the party, but it's okay.
Yeah, well, you're ahead of me. I saw one episode of it that I just caught on TV at one point.
Yeah.
And based on that one episode, I was like, I would probably like the show, but I haven't watched any more of it than that.
But dude, I'm 15 seasons behind on Supernatural than you, so I'm not catching up.
The Viking show to get ready for Valhalla, is that why?
Well, I was playing Valhalla. And I decided I'm going to give it a shot finally. Because I know my wife's been watching it. She loves it, so.
I did watch the first two episodes of Northmen, though.
I know you didn't like it, did you?
I didn't like it.
I love that show. I think it's so funny.
Carrie kind of skipped over you. What have you seen recently? Because I know we talked. I want to talk about it.
No, I didn't skip over him.
Okay.
Not on purpose.
If I don't want to be, you know, spoken to, that's fine.
No.
I'll just shut the fuck up, Carrie. I saw a couple of movies recently. Watched Queen's Gambit like we talked about earlier, but the most recent movie I saw is Possessor, and it is David Cronenberg's son's directorial debut. To kind of give you a quick synopsis of what it's about, this company that basically assassinates people or high-end marks for a living. And
they're corporate assassins.
Yeah. And they have this one all-star assassin who the way they assassinate people is that they pluck a random person who's close to the people that they're near and possess their bodies. And they do like a little mind swap thing like you would think. And basically they have like 2-3 days to do the assassination. And this one person is like their top tier, but they've been doing it so many times they're starting to lose grip of the control of how the technology works. And it's really good. It's really really interesting.
It's better than really good. It's the horror movie of the year for me in 2020.
Yeah, it's like someone saw Inception and went like, I can make a horror version of that. It's basically what it feels like.
Interesting. Okay.
It's intense. Like the music and the way he shoots scenes and the way he like just builds tension is just so incredible. Like the whole movie, you're on the edge of your seat and anxious. Like I actually feel anxiety watching the movie in places just because it's so crazy what's going on. It's hard to believe what's happening on screen at times. And the death scenes are among the best gore and death that you've seen in any movie ever.
It's pretty well. I mean, if you watch any David Cronenberg stuff, you know he's known for body horror, right?
Yeah.
So it only makes sense that his son would kind of pick up that mantle, and he does a good job.
He does a really good job. I obviously can't speak to the theatrical version of the film because I've only seen the uncut version.
That's the only George scene too, so I don't know what the theatrical cut's like. I don't know if it's not in it.
I'd imagine it's more tame, but I would highly recommend the uncut version if you have an opportunity to see it, just because my experience was just so awesome watching it. I actually went ahead and purchased the 4K special edition first release of it, and two posters and the vinyl. That's how much I love this movie. So
I wasn't a big fan of the poster or the vinyl of the thing, but the movie itself is pretty good.
Yeah.
What's the name of it again? Possessor.
Okay.
Is it streaming yet, or is it?
It's available to rent now, so you can probably get it on Amazon or wherever you rent these from.
Very cool. Yeah, that's something I didn't know the plot. I just knew from what Justin said before it was really good. So that's interesting. Very cool.
It's an experience. Like, there's not a lot of movies that I walk out of and I was like, wow, that was a truly unique experience in a film. Because most of the time you see stuff and it's like, that was fun, or like, yeah, like you can analyze things, but there's a few movies every once in a while you see them and you come out of it and you're just like, wow, like I can't believe I lived through that. That's how this movie is.
Nice. All right, very cool, guys. So let's move on to our topic, which is going to be video game based, and let's talk about some of the new systems that just came out. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to the show, my friends. Let's talk about the new console that just came out. So in the past week, we've had both the Xbox Series X and PS5, and the Xbox, what is it, Series S?
Series S.
That's the digital-only version. Somebody here is getting one, aren't they?
Yep.
You want to talk about that?
I mean, if you want to. Like,
you're getting one.
I am getting one, and I'm excited to get one. I won an online raffle for one, paid $18, and I should be getting it sometime this weekend or Monday at the latest, so pretty excited.
That's cool, man. What are you gonna play first?
I don't really know, because I'm getting the digital version, so I can't load up other stuff.
Right.
I do have a digital copy of Fallout 4. I never actually bought the physical disc, so I may play some Fallout 4. I'll probably buy Assassin's Creed Valhalla and play that, since it's the first next gen game for the Xbox. But aside from that, I don't really have a whole lot of plans.
Okay. I have both systems. I have the Series X and the PS5. I was able to pre-order the PS5 like September, whenever it first came out. And we've been sort of doing the layaway plan on it. So you go to, we did it at GameStop. So we would just go in there every paycheck and say, here's $50 or $100. So by the time it came out, it was already paid off. The Xbox, I wasn't probably going to get one right away. I had pre-ordered one on Amazon, and I got that message like a week later saying, yeah, we don't know how many we're actually going to get. We don't know when you're going to get your pre-order, and it is not going to be on release date. So, fine. I was okay with that. A friend of mine who's a manager of a different GameStop, he asked me what systems I was planning to get. And I told him, about the pre-order on Amazon. And he's like, well, you know what? Come by on Tuesday when we open, and I might be able to hook you up. Because each store maybe got like one or two extras. And instead of them selling it to somebody that was going to scalp it, he wanted somebody that he knew would want it to purchase it, So I did that.
That's cool.
I only have a couple of games that are Series X. That's Valhalla, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. We bought that one because, like, it's one of the smart delivery games. So you buy the Xbox One version, you get the update for free, which is pretty cool. And I have Planet Coaster.
Big shock.
Big shock. Oh, my God. So I pre-ordered that on Best Buy, and it came out the Tuesday of the release. But I got it the previous Saturday because they shipped it early, and I got it. I was playing that shit for days on my, like, the whole Sunday. We just sat on the couch and played that all day. Sandbox mode, building shit. What they didn't tell everybody is there is a limit of how much you can build. There's like a counter limit. And once you start getting like 80, 85%, 90% of your build, and I understand why, it's the systems can't handle that much. So there is a limitation to the systems. The Series X actually has, of course, a bigger limitation. You could do more. But sad to say, my Series X version of Planet Coaster has been freezing and crashing quite often.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like very frustratingly freezing. And I think it has something to do with that limitation, because I was playing it on the sandbox that I created, and it was like at 85% or 90%. So I started a new sandbox and I wasn't having those problems yet. And maybe it's has to do with that memory problem with how big you're building stuff. I don't know yet. But I'm sure they'll be able to patch it, you know.
Yeah. It's all first gen consoles have problems.
Yeah. So. I fucking love Planet Coaster. Been waiting years and years to actually play it. And it's amazing. It's everything you want it to be. It's smooth. The controllers really, really work on it. If you play the Jurassic World Evolution game, it's made by the same people. It's very close in the style of how you control. It's very fluid. You get used to it like that. You can even actually hook up a keyboard and mouse to it if you want and play it that way. Mm. Yeah, I've really been enjoying that, and it's cool because they have the Frontier store, so you can actually go download other coasters and parks that people have made and that kind of stuff too, which is cool. Has anybody else played Assassin's Creed Valhalla yet?
I've watched my buddy Jeff. He's been streaming it, but I haven't played any of it.
So we actually own two copies of it now. Because...
All right.
No, my wife really, really wanted to play it while I was playing it. So we were in GameStop the other night, and they had a used copy come in already. So they said, what kind of deal can you do? And they said, well, if you bought anything new recently, we can return that, re-ring it, which I had, and we would get a 30% coupon on it, on the used game. So it wound up being like $27 after tax and stuff. I had another $10, you know, GameStop coupon thing. So I was like, for a second copy for her to be able to play it whenever she wants, I didn't think that was that bad of a deal, you know? If it makes her happy, that's all that matters, right? Happy wife, happy life. Is that how it goes?
That's how it goes.
That's right.
That's what they say.
You better learn. It's true. Trust me. Yeah, that's been really cool. I've been playing Watchdog Legions previously before the Xbox Series X. So this game is, you know, completely set in London. So and I'm really enjoying it. I think part one was horrible. Part two, they tried to sort of, you know, course correct. But I think they finally got it right on this game. And you can pick it up as cheap as like $29 now for like Black Friday. So if you've been looking for it, like George, if you've been looking for that game, it's definitely worth it. I think you'd have fun. But the cool thing about it, there's, of course, music channels when you're in your cars and stuff like that. But it's all in London, so all the music in it are British bands.
Cool.
And there's a fucking heavy metal station on here that, I mean, there's like something from the new Anal Nitrok on here.
It's I love pretty that cool. Album.
It's good. Album. It's so weird. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It's like it's nothing but British bands on this soundtrack. It's really, really cool. And PS5, I only have a couple games. I have Spider-Man, Miles Morales, and Sackboy. I haven't played much of Miles Morales, but I haven't played Sackboy so far. I love action platformer games. And it's, you know, made by the same people that do Little Big Planet, but it's not that build, level, play weird shit. It's actually a Mario-style game. And there's interesting music. It looks amazing. And there's interesting level design. I was playing one level, and I'm like, this song sounds really familiar. And it was like an orchestral version of Madonna's Material Girl. I was like, what is going on?
Version?
Yeah. And then there was like another level. It was, God, what's that? I can't think of the name of the song. It's like really super popular for past couple of years. Like Bruno Mars. What's that song name? George, you would know.
The wrong group, man.
George, you would know.
A song by Bruno Mars? I mean, there's a lot of songs by Bruno Mars.
What's the popular one?
They're all popular.
No. Mars for a reason. They're not all popular. Not like the huge one he had. What's the huge hit?
I'm sure I do know it, but it's not coming to my brain right now.
You have to make me Google this shit?
Yep.
I was counting on your knowledge of bullshit.
None of our listeners are going to know what song you're talking about anyways, Carrie. You might as well just say it's a Bruno Mars
Uptown,
song.
Uptown Funk. All right. That's it. The song title. Everybody knows that song. Yeah. Everybody's heard it. All the platforms and the stuff in the level are bouncing to the beat of the song. And that's where some of the difficulty in the level come in. It's a very interesting game. It's pretty cool. The DualSense, the new PlayStation controller, is pretty cool. It's very interesting. Do you guys have any questions or any comments about the systems or anything?
I'm excited to get mine and try it.
Yeah. I'm excited to eventually get one, but I don't have a 4K TV, so it kind of defeats the purpose.
Mm.
It's a good excuse to upgrade.
Yes, yes it is. I don't think George needs any excuse, just movies, come on.
If I get a 4K TV, then I gotta get a 4K receiver, and then after I get all that, then I have to go get the PS5 and the new Xbox.
It's a whole thing.
He's gonna have to replace all of his movies.
That's right.
You can watch all your streaming services through whatever system you buy, and that basically will eliminate the need for the 4K receiver, right?
All my audio runs through my receiver in my house.
But you can just run the audio from your TV optical out to the receiver and run all the video through your PS5. Not have to buy a new receiver.
I guess you could do that. Yeah,
were smart.
I'm trying to save you money here, George.
I know, right? Come on, dude. It's Black Friday next week. Buy a new TV. Come on, do it. Do it.
We went looking for a new TV. All the TVs that I want, they don't have it on sale.
That all right. Sucks. Like I have a Samsung, and I love.
Check the obscure sites like Newegg and Tiger Direct and
Wish. Check Micro Wish. Center. Don't forget to check Wish.
That's a bad idea.
I mean, you've seen
you get like a Poly Pocket TV that somebody wrote 4K on.
All the 4K TVs, they don't reach the certain specs that I want. They're all the ones that are on sale are 60 hertz.
Yeah,
and so
you want 120.
You want 120 hertz. Otherwise, it kind of defeats the purpose of having a 4K.
Yeah, I mean some of the games you can set between, you know, having 30 frames at 120 hertz or having 60 frames in lower, you know, 60 hertz. But and people, you know,
why would you do that though?
Because ray tracing.
Everybody has a top end TV.
Well, yeah, and ray tracing on the PS5 is a fucking amazing. Like in Spider-Man, you could actually see the reflection of stuff in glass and stuff if you don't have it cranked up to full 60 frames per second, because the only way you can have ray tracing is at 30 frames, I believe. And it looks better. It's much, much, much cooler. So, Spider-Man, have you played Spider-Man yet, George?
Yeah, that's the newest game I bought. I wanted to play it on the PS5, but I got very impatient. So I bought it for PS4, the digital version, so hopefully, whenever I do upgrade to the 5, it's already included.
Right.
But yeah, it's a great game. It's a lot of fun.
How far have you?
Not too far. Maybe like 20% of the game.
You're way farther than me.
What's really cool, it comes with the Into the Spider-Verse suit.
Yep.
Out the gate. And one of the suit's abilities is to kind of give it that... It gives it that weird frame rate, so it looks like it's jittery like it is from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it has like the comic book pop-up stuff, so when you punch somebody, it says bam. And
nice.
Pow and all that
I
shit.
Just installed that because it came on a digital code card. So I just installed that. I haven't played it with that yet. I only played maybe 20 minutes just to check it out. But I've been playing Valhalla way too much. That's been my go-to right now.
Cool.
It's really, really good.
But who knows when I'll ever play that game.
Valhalla?
Yeah, who knows?
You can buy it now and just get the free upgrade.
Yeah, I know, but I'm the problem with Assassin's Creed games is that they are so big and like there's too much story, and I never finish it, and I feel like I wasted my money if I don't finish it. And anyway,
I beat Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I don't think I ever played Origins.
I didn't beat Odyssey. It's still in my Xbox right now as we speak.
I didn't open Odyssey. We bought a copy, and it's still sealed, sitting in my cube.
So I have a lot of games like that, which is why I'm not in a rush to get the next-gen system. I still have a couple of dozen games that I own that I've never even put in yet. So
one of the
I rarely play games. Like, honestly, a new system's wasted on me, but I'll probably make an effort, especially if it comes before Thanksgiving, to really like play some Assassin's Creed.
I like FOMO doesn't have like a major effect on me most of the time.
Yeah.
Very rarely does that effect hit me, but like especially when it comes to this kind of stuff, I'm like, I'll just wait and let them put all the broken machines out first and let them turn through that and fix all the problems and update the software, and you know, I'll get it eventually when the price point comes down, and I'm okay with that. So
I am too, but I won one, so
yeah, hey, that's cool. I'd be excited about that too.
Exactly.
One of the things I wanted to mention about Valhalla is the music. The Wardruna music.
Wardruna.
Yeah, so when you're in your boat and stuff like that, and then you could you press the left button on the D-pad, and you can turn the music on and off, or they start doing shanties and stuff like that, and that's where that music comes in from. All the music that he wrote and stuff like that. It's really awesome.
Is there a crap ton of boat missions so far in Valhalla?
No, there's no boat. As far as I know so far, there's no boat fighting.
I fucking hated those.
Yes, like, I agree.
The only
thing with the boat in Valhalla is it gets you from point A to point B. It's a transportation only, not a fighting vessel, which I'm happy with that. But it's a lot of fun. It looks great. Of course, you're still going to have a few of those Assassin's Creed bugs that they can never work out and, you know, fix up. Like, you get stuck on shit all the time. And it's an Assassin's Creed game just with a really cool overlay, in my opinion. I may be 3 hours into the game, maybe four. So I'm like at 0.05, maybe. I don't know. 0.05%, it's a lot. Like, 2 hours into the game is when you see the credit screen show up, when the logo shows up. You're like, fuck, I did all that, and then the logo finally showing up? Because you start off in Norway, and the game doesn't really start until you leave to go pillage and do all that stuff, and you actually go to England and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Lindisfarne?
What's up?
Is that where you land? Do you land in Lindisfarne?
I don't know. There's like five different areas.
There's like a dozen different Viking black metal songs about that.
Oh, is there?
About when the Vikings landed in England.
you land in a place and you take it over and it becomes your home base, basically. But I know there's like Wessex and all these different places and stuff like that. It's pretty, I haven't got very far into it. I had just gotten to England and maybe done a couple of missions. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Very, very cool. Anything else?
No, that's the only games. And I finally finished Ghost of Tsushima.
Did you? I actually just reinstalled that on the PS5 because I'm excited to see what it looks like on there. Supposed to be freaking amazing.
I mean, it's an amazing game as is. So,
Assassin's Creed, ancient Japan, feudal Japan.
It's better than Assassin's
Creed. I agree.
Way better storyline and
Limited Run Games released Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
Did you order it?
Yeah, I ordered it. Okay. I haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, I've ordered about four or five games from Limited Run since April or May, and I've only gotten one. They're really behind on shit, which is fine. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it would be a really fun game. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but for the Switch, I figured I could get it and take it to my parents' house for Christmas and have something to do. So,
what is it?
What's Cthulhu? The game? Cthulhu Saves Christmas.
Yeah, like what's the gist of it?
Yeah, I'll read you the synopsis.
It's after Ernest Saved Christmas. It's the sequel. Yeah, to that. After
they teamed up, Ernest and Cthulhu, and it has a 9 out of 10 rating.
Does it really? 84%
review on Metacritic. Basically, Eldritch Horror Cthulhu saves Christmas for fun and profit in this fast-paced turn-based RPG comedy. It doesn't really give a lot of details about it.
You lost me at turn-based.
I mean, if I'm playing it on my Switch, I don't really care. The Master of Insanity Cthulhu has lost his powers again, and the only way he can get them back is by rescuing Santa Claus from the League of Christmas Evil.
Okay.
Okay.
Join Cthulhu, the Snow Maiden, Baba Yaga-chan, and Belsnickel as they build relationships, fight the League of...
I want to build a relationship.
That's the stupidest pun.
Fight the League of Christmas Evil and catch the Christmas spirit, Fatagen. You fight Krampus.
I was about to ask, is Krampus in it? Come
League
on.
Of Evil Villains.
The League of Evil Villains?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be, like, ridiculous. It looks ridiculous, but it also looks very fun, so we'll see.
All right. Very cool. That looks interesting. I picked up the Kingdom Hearts Switch Melody of Memory or something, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. They take the music from the game, and it's sort of like a rhythm-based action game type of deal. You're running through the levels and stuff like that. It's supposed to, you know, even have extra story plot from the series, if you can even understand what the hell's going on in the first place. Those games are so convoluted.
Are you enjoying it more than Kingdom Hearts 3?
So far, yeah. I beat Kingdom Hearts 3 finally, and I got, like, about the DLC. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. I want to get back into it, and I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to play this anymore. I'm done. Yeah.
They beat you out of submission, huh?
They did. Yeah, that game was 15 years too late, I think. I don't know.
I'll probably pick up Hyrule Warriors 2, Age of Calamity.
Have you played the demo for it yet?
I haven't played the demo, but I love Breath of the Wild, so I'll probably pick that up.
I don't like Breath of the Wild. wasn't a big fan of that, but
you didn't play enough of it. You
apparently,
would have loved it if you kept playing.
I'm playing it. Well, I played it a while ago until Animal Crossing came out, and I was playing it quite often before then. Well, I don't play Animal Crossing. My wife does.
Okay.
So she's taking over the Switch when it comes to that stuff. I have Breath of the Wild on there. It's a great game. It's just really long and a lot to do.
Yeah.
I really like Samurai Warrior games, and I really like the first Zelda game they did in that style. Go and download the demo. It's free. There's like the first two major battles you can play. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it.
Comes out next week, I think. So
I think it comes out this Friday as we're recording. It comes out this week.
Well, I don't know when I'm going to pick it up. It depends when my Xbox gets here. So I can only play one game at a time. So I'm just kind of wait and see.
But I play like 18 games at a time. Not that many, but maybe five.
I got too many movies and TV shows to watch. Like, gaming is like third priority for me.
I feel you. Well, that's it. Those are my opinions and my thoughts. I mean, of course, you know, I don't want to say I'm an Xbox fanboy, but I play my Xbox more than any other system. But
you're an Xbox fanboy.
You can call me that if you want to. It's okay. I can live with that. But the PS5, I think, number one, it feels like a quicker system. The Xbox, it's super quick to load and stuff like that, but it didn't feel like it was a brand new environment because it looked just the same. At least the operating system, looks just like it did previously. So it wasn't that like, opening up something new and it looks all brand new and different inside. I will say the PS5, it's fucking huge, way too big, and it looks like somebody designed it that used to work on routers. And it's like, let's make it.
It does look like a router.
It does.
Yeah.
Like, I was about to ask how. Like, does it have to be set up vertically, or
I think you can do it horizontally. It comes with a stand. I just haven't done it yet. I think I'm going to do it that way because it's just too tall. At least the Xbox Series X, I have it on the opposite side, and it's like right on my console, and it's right below where the TV would be. So I don't want to have that on the side because, like, the whole top of the system is actually like the exhaust, you know, where people are blowing smoke in there and shit to make it look like it's on fire.
Yeah,
it's not. Even Xbox they said don't blow vape into your system, please.
You know, there's been a lot of reports of problems and stuff, but most of what I've seen that's real problems are like mostly with the eject and the insertion of discs. Apparently, it catches really bad when people try to take out discs.
Quite yet.
But the smoke thing was definitely fake.
You should see a doctor for that if you can't get it in and eject it correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're not going to have to worry about that. You have a digital version, so.
That's true. That's true. For now, at least. Right. I went on one with a disc drive, too. We'll see.
Yeah, I might get the...
you probably will.
I might get the digital version as well.
As a PS5? You're all digital now anyways, aren't you, dude?
Not everything, but a lot of stuff. The only thing that concerns me is, like, I won't be able to play some old games, but from what I understand, there's no backwards compatibility with PS5 anyway, so...
It's backwards compatible with PS4 games. That's about it.
Oh, yeah?
Unless you buy PlayStation Now, where there's games that are older that you can play, but who's going
to
do that?
You can always hang on to your PS4 if you want to play old stuff, right?
Yeah, but that means I have to hook them both up. That just sounds like a pain.
I have cabinets full of old consoles for this very reason.
I actually gave my PS4 Pro to my wife so she could play some games because she'd never really played PS4 games. She'd always wanted to play Horizon Zero Dawn. Now she can.
And my wife just let her
through that.
Did she?
Carrie's like, don't touch my PlayStation.
No, it was never like that. It's just, I was always on that TV, or if I wasn't playing a game on that TV, we were watching something on that, you know what I mean?
I got you.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you shit.
Yeah.
How dare you?
But fuck her, she's not playing my shit. what did your wife think of the Horizon?
She seemed to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I haven't played it myself, but that it was able. It seemed like it was not a short game.
No.
But she stuck with it all the way to the end, and she doesn't play a whole lot of video games. She kind of like latches onto a few that she really likes that she sticks with and plays all the way through. So it's got to be something kind of special for her to see it through to the end.
And my wife is exactly the same way. Like so, Assassin's Creed, she played hundreds and hundreds of hours, you know?
Mm-hmm. But she seemed to really enjoy it, and I liked what I saw of it, and so I'll play it at some point. It looks really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't spend too much time watching it because it looked enjoyable enough. I didn't want a lot of spoilers and stuff, but I know that she enjoyed it a lot. She really liked the world, and the cultures and all of that they had written into it.
I know with PS5, if you have a PlayStation Plus membership, they've added a bunch of PS4 games you can play for free, basically. There's like 20 of them or 15 or 20 of them. Like Days Gone was one of them, Final Fantasy, some other games like that, which was interesting because they never really done that before. They're trying to compete with the Xbox Game Pass, which is still totally worth it. And they just added all the EA Game Pass or whatever they called it. So every single sports game you've ever never wanted to play is on there.
Great.
Woohoo.
I know.
We know how much Dave loves EA games, so.
Oh, that's right.
I don't like EA in general. That's true. I have a couple of very specific reasons for why.
Battlefront.
One of them being Star Wars, the other one being the other one being that they destroyed Maxis, for which I'll never forgive them.
That's true.
There's nothing they can do to make that up to me. They're dead to me now. but I think the last sports video game I played, let me think.
Well, the last one for me was NBA Jam.
NBA Jam. Yeah. Yes. I think that was probably the last one I ever played.
There's no point of buying them, you know? I never enjoyed them. I used to work at GameStop, and people would freak out every time there was a new Madden or a new... It's like,
oh,
dude,
I know.
It's like, there's no value in those games because they...
None at all.
Might as well buy the digital version because, like, there's... You can't ever... Within a month, that thing is going to be worth like $1.50.
It's the same shitty game with a new coat of paint, and updated rosters, and that's it. It's the same shit every time.
Yeah.
Pointless. Call of Duty. I'm sorry. What?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that too.
The new Call of Duty game that's 5 hours long for the single player. Come on. I'm not paying $70 for that crap. And then because I don't,
people get really upset. When, I know. Like you go to trade in your like month old Madden game, and you're like, yeah, I'll give you $2 for it. They wouldn't be very happy about that. And it's like, no. I'm gonna sell it for $8. So
yeah, because there is a new Call of Duty game that just came out too. Cold War. Is it? It's one of the Modern Warfare or the other one.
Isn't it free?
No, you're thinking of the multiplayer only one that is free. Cold War is it's 4, Black Ops 4, that's what it is.
I'll just wait for Halo Infinite.
I know. the Call of Duty, that's
free shitty Call of
Duty. I'm sure every time you turn on YouTube, you've seen a trailer. It has like Ronald Reagan and shit in it. So Ronald Reagan in Depeche Mode, that's the 80s right there, man.
Yeah. The whole 80s. That's
the whole 80s. That's all you need.
And New Mutants.
Yeah. And New Mutants. Is there any other games? Is there any games you guys are looking forward to besides Halo?
Fable, for sure.
Mm.
Really excited about Fable. That is a Fable. Aside from that, not really. I mean,
I'm excited to play more Spider-Man.
Yeah. I think I'm going to pick that up this weekend and just play through it. I heard it's not very long, so.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it's not as long as the original game, for sure. It's like a DLC, maybe, length, maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Mm.
Maybe. I don't know.
But that's a bummer.
Just enjoy it, man. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
I'll probably play through it a couple of times.
Yeah. I got the version that came with the remastered Spider-Man version for PS5. Oh, yeah. So might play that through the beginning.
Notice the difference between the two different Spider-Mans, because that's what happened with me.
Between the Spider-Man 1 and then the newer Miles Morales?
Yeah, they changed the Spider-Man character. So, yeah, he looks way younger, and they changed the voice and everything.
More Tom Hollandy.
Yeah, I guess so. But, like, it doesn't really make sense because the character is supposed to be, like, in his mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
All right.
It's a good game. I like it either way.
It's amazing. It's phenomenal looking. Even on the PS4, it looks really, really good. So, let's move on. It's time for George to hate some metal.
Yay.
George hates metal. Justin, let's talk about what song you picked for George.
I picked the song Tyrant by the band Bliss of Flesh. They're a French black metal outfit. I discovered them this year with this album. They're really, really good. I like this album a lot. Most likely it's going to be in my top three.
I know exactly why you like it. Because it sounds like another band that you love a lot.
Behemoth?
Yes.
There's a lot of similarities in Behemoth and some of the stuff. But they do a lot more melody in more traditional like melodic death metal type ways than Behemoth does, though. It's kind of a good mix of like just everything that I like in metal. So I'm a big fan, like I said. And I thought I would share it with you guys.
All right, George, your time to shine. What were your opinions on this song?
It was all right. Not bad.
Okay.
It's high praise.
High praise. It wasn't power metal, so.
There were some good moments, and there were some other moments. So.
Are you a fan of Behemoth in that style?
Sometimes. Like, a couple of their songs are really good. I won't say I like all their songs, but...
Okay. What about you, Dave? What was your first opinion on it?
Well, this isn't my first time listening to it. Oh. I've heard this. I don't know that I've listened to the whole album all the way through or not. I can't remember. But I've at least listened to some of it a couple of times. And I need to spend more time with it. To me, I don't know. To me, it maybe feels less Behemoth-y than it does to you guys. Not sure what I'm missing there. I'm a huge Behemoth fan, and I have been for.
I don't really think it feels
20
like,
years.
I think this particular song has moments that feel like Behemoth, like when he's doing the spoken word part. That really feels like Nurgle. Like there's some stuff in the album.
I feel like the guitar picking in this song, specifically some of the melodies and stuff like that too.
Yeah, but I don't think it permeates the entire album. There's a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, certainly. But I've enjoyed it so far. I just haven't spent a ton of time with it. There's been a lot. There's been a lot to spend time with, and I haven't had a lot of time to spend with a lot of it. So it's been a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah, it's very true.
Let's talk about that. I have a few albums that I want to mention. That I've been jamming out actually recently. I started looking up new Death Doom bands that came out with new albums this year. And one of the ones that I found, there's a couple of them I found today. One of them is a band called Catalepsia. I really, really dig this band. Let's see, there is Endless Forms Most Gruesome. First time I heard about this band today. It's the vocalist from the band Ghost Brigade and the drummer from Swallow the Sun, who is the multi-instrumentalist on this album, so he does everything else. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I listened to a couple of songs off the album right before we started recording, and I was enjoying it. You know, Doom is not really my favorite subgenre, but there's been a few bands this year that have really done it right that I've liked. This one I could definitely see sticking with. The little bit I heard, I really enjoyed.
Another band that I discovered recently is, I guess they put an album out earlier in the year, is Godthrym, Godthrymm. This is my second favorite Paradise Lost album that came out this year.
I haven't listened to it yet, but that's funny.
It sounds a lot like Draconian Times era Paradise Lost, that mid-90s. Before they went to Depeche Mode completely. I really was digging this album. It's really, really, really good. I'm going through my list of albums that I made. Bliss of Flesh is on there. Let's take a moment and talk about the new Mr. Bungle. Has everybody listened to it?
No.
Nope.
I'm not really a Mr. Bungle fan, so no.
So, all right.
So literally the only Mr. Bungle song that I've ever heard was the one that you picked for George Hates Metal a couple of times back.
Yeah.
That's the only Mr. Bungle song I know. And it's from that time.
Yes. I'm addicted to this album. It's one of my favorite thrash albums of this year, which is not something you really associate Mr. Bungle with. But of course, I think we've talked about it before on the show. This album is a redone version of like one of the very first demo albums. And this does feature Scott Ian on guitar and Dave Lombardo on drums. So
I will say that song fucking shredded, though.
Yeah.
So I meant to listen to that album today in preparation Because I figured we were probably going to end up talking about it, and I just didn't get a chance.
But I think you really would dig it.
Off that one song, like I said, it slammed.
They do a COC cover, an old early COC cover. They do Habla Español o Muerte, which is basically the new version of Speak English or Die, Speak Spanish or Die. When they did that, like on a, I guess it was one of the, you know, one of the videos they put out during the quarantine, was like, you know, I think it might have been Charlie Benante, and you know, he was putting all those videos out. Pretty cool. Yeah, there's been so many good sings out this year. It's going to be a difficult time to pick my top albums of the year. The New Draconian's really good. I've been
having trouble. Is it streaming in its entirety on Spotify?
It is now. It came out like two weeks ago.
It's not streaming anywhere else that I've been able to find. Not all of it.
Okay.
So I haven't heard all of it yet.
It's a good album. It's a little bit more difficult album to get into because there's a lot more slower parts to it and a lot more somberness to it. Than like Sovereign, which was, I really liked that album a lot. But
it's a terrible album to try to work out to, because I was doing my workout.
No,
the first time I tried to listen to it was while I was working out, and it did not click at all.
But I think a better album in that style and that genre is the new Red Moon Architect.
Yeah, that one
it's
I
a
like.
Better, really it's a better album than the Draconian for sure. It's the dudes. Guttural vocals are so good, and the guitar tone, it's like sort of, it's at that bright, and it's weird to say bright when you're talking about like a death doom band, but it has that bright melancholiness to it, you know what I mean, that guitar tone. The female vocals is great. It's a better Draconian death doom album than they did, in my opinion. And this band is also, they put out one of my favorite EPs this year, that Aeonian Sorrow, which was really good earlier in the year. Same guys. So
did you check out December Noir?
I did. I was going to mention that. Yeah, I listened to that like three times after you mentioned it. I'm like, all right, I'm going to check it out. Yeah, you are totally right. It's that 90s peaceful era vocal or sound, but with a new, it's really, really good. I'm surprised you like it as much as I do.
Yeah, I'm surprised I do too, because it's not typically the type of metal I really go for. But something about it, I don't know if it's just the specific tone of his death metal growls or what, but I like it a lot more than most doomy stuff that I've listened to this year. And I really think it's going to make my top 10 list.
Yeah, I've only listened to it two or three times since you told me about it a couple of days ago. It has jumped really high on my list. It's really good. I think, Dave, you would really enjoy it.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check it out yet.
Decembre, they're a German band. Decembre Noir. That one band I was talking about, the Catalespia, very much in the style of like November's Doom style of band. A lot of clean vocals, like Dan Suano style clean vocals. It's really good. So what about you, Dave? What have you been jamming recently?
Let's see. Let me look at what my recently listened to says. I checked out that Soliloquium album earlier today. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid it didn't really jump out at me.
No?
That much. Yeah. That Countless Skies album, though, that Sean brought to our attention, yes. I really like that, though.
The Metal Pigeon and my co-host on MSR Cast brought this to us. It's very, I get a lot of Devin Townsend brightness out of it.
It's got that, like, Devin Townsend Dream Theater approach to prog metal if it was a mellow death band.
Yep. Perfect description. I described it as Devin Townsend was writing for Insomnium.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, that's perfect for me. Yeah.
So I've been listening to that. The new Uwata still. Some of the more recent stuff I haven't had a chance to check out yet. But yeah, I've gone back to that Uwada album a few times.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So is cool. The New Moors. I kind of alternate between the two of them a lot.
The New Moors, Principium Est?
Yes.
I feel like Teresa's put out the better Enslaved album this year.
Oh, wow.
Sorry to say, but that's the way it is. I don't dislike the new Enslaved album. A couple of their more recent albums, I could not get into right away at all.
So which band did you say put out a better Enslaved album?
Teresa's.
I didn't know they put a new album out this year.
Yeah, it's good. It's like I said, it's a better Enslaved album.
Okay.
And I'm not necessarily knocking the Enslaved album.
No, I know.
Like it's decent. But this is better. And again, we mentioned it a few minutes ago, but the new NL Nathrak, to me, I love it. Just the sound, it's just that wall of sound. And I haven't checked in with this band in a couple of releases. So I don't know how long they've been doing like the clean vocal sections, but I dig it. So
it's pretty good. It made it to my best of list. I don't think it's going to make my top 10, but it's definitely a great album.
Yeah, it is. That Tomorrow's Rain.
Yes.
I've gone back to that a few times. That's pretty good too. So
George looks bored with all this talk. I'm sorry.
I'm listening.
Okay.
That's why I put it that way. It's kind of high praise because I love Enslaved. They're one of my favorites. So that's a high compliment for me. So
I like that Thurisaz album too. It's really good.
What have you been listening to, Justin? Besides all the ones we've already mentioned.
I got a long list.
You gotta go.
Gotta go. Well, you know I listen to tons and tons and tons of stuff.
You do.
The most recent things, I have not finished making it through this week yet. There was like 70 albums I added to my listen to list, and I'm probably about a third of the way through, and I found five or six that I thought were really good. Already, which is a pretty good week. I mean, usually it takes a while to find some good ones. There's a really excellent old school Scandinavian black metal band called Antzaat. It's Antzaat. I feel like Dave would really like them a lot.
I feel like I've maybe listened to some of that, but I can't pin it down.
I really enjoy that.
Maybe I'm remembering you recommending it or something.
You might have. I did post it in group chat. Okay. It's pretty good. And then Hexecutor put out a really good thrash album. Puterayon. I'm not even sure how to say that. they're obviously a Spanish band. it's like a blackened death. But I love the music. It's one of those albums where you just love the music, but the vocals don't quite mesh with it perfectly. So I'm not sure how high up it'll be, but I put it in my best of list because I'll probably listen to it over and over again because I like the music so much. And Malice's Wake is a black and thrash album.
Yeah.
I really, really like that. It's probably my favorite thrash thing I've heard this year. I think you'll like that a lot, Kerry.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Another really good thrash album you would like is Warfect.
I've been hearing about that recently, yeah.
That one...
Who would you compare them to? I'm looking at the album cover, and it's very, like, 90s power metal.
It's kind of like power thrash.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. I don't really know who I would compare them to, though. This is more thrash albums than ever make it to my list in a week. Usually it's, like, one every other week.
These guys are from Sweden, yeah.
They have a little bit of that Gothenburg sound mixed in there, too, which I like. And then Cytosphere, which is like another black and death metal band, which is one of my favorite genres. I only listened to it once, but it made it to my list. So I need to spend more time with it, but it's good.
Cool. I'll have to check out some of those thrash bands you're talking about.
Yeah. Like I mostly go for like the black metal guys and the death metal guys. But every once in a while I come across thrash or doom that I just can't get enough of. And for some reason this week was just like tons of it.
Nice. So. That Estador that you brought to my attention a few months ago.
That's good.
Still one of my favorites.
I saw Sean's write up on that.
Yeah.
Like while he loves the inserted cover song,
I knew he would.
I really don't.
I totally knew he would.
The album would be so much better without that song in it, or if they just put it at the end, you know. But
what about you, George? Do you have any music you've been jamming recently?
I came across this new band recently that you guys probably may or may not heard, called Megaton Sword.
I've actually heard that recently, yeah.
Yeah, I heard it too.
So I've been listening to their album recently.
It's sort of like new wave of like thrash metal type stuff, new like old sounding.
Yeah, it's really good. I like it a lot.
Okay.
It's like a mix of classic heavy metal with thrash.
Yeah, like trad stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And I really, Melvin's came out with a new song last week.
Oh.
It's a play on the Beach Boys, I Get Around, but the song is called I Fuck Around. It's pretty great.
Sounds like the Melvins to me.
Huh?
Sounds like something the Melvins would do.
Yeah, exactly. That's, so it's pretty fun. It's been in my head for the past week. So
if anybody out of everybody, all of us here would appreciate that Mr. Bungle album, I think it'd be George.
Probably.
Did y'all hear that there's two new System of Down songs?
Oh, yeah. I listened to that. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I heard they existed. I didn't listen to them.
I can't get into them because, like, their drummer is a fucking retard. He's like a flat earther and shit. Sorry for losing any listeners by saying that, but what? Yeah.
Wait, did he come out as a flat earther, too?
I think he did. I know he's very...
Deftones came out.
Okay, maybe that's who I was thinking.
Steven, no, the drummer from System of a Down's a trumper.
Yes, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Zero sense at all.
None. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Because that whole band is supposed to be anti-establishment.
Yep. But Steven Carpenter from Deftones.
That's who it was.
Came out. He's like, apparently he's never met a conspiracy theory he didn't like, apparently, which makes me just feel way more justified in my.
Do you think he's doing it as this troll?
I've never understood the Deftones, and now I feel like this.
This makes all justified.
The sense. It does. I'm like, oh, okay, he's an idiot. I guess.
Do you think he's doing it to be a troll, or?
I don't know enough about him. I don't either.
All right, George, what else have you been jamming?
That's about it, really. I mean, and old stuff.
All right.
Harakiri for the Sky released two singles from their upcoming album, which are both excellent.
Cool. Did you go to Walmart to buy any vinyl?
I missed the sale. I saw they were $15, but I couldn't make it over there.
We got four for the whole weekend. A lot of it was like, you know, Guns N' Roses Greatest Hits or Metallica. Wasn't going to buy those. We wound up getting, my wife got Pearl Jam 10, which is a good album.
That is a good album.
We got, one of the Beatles albums we didn't have, Let It Be. I picked up, Beastie Boys, Ill Communication, and we got the picture disc soundtrack to The Mandalorian, which is pretty cool.
Mandalorian's helmet on the vinyl.
Right? Yep. I don't think I'll ever play it, but.
So. I'm glad I didn't buy that for you as a Christmas gift because I figured you would have bought it.
Oh, that you were trying to give me?
I was thinking about it, but now that you got it, cool beans.
Nice.
I did pick up a couple of vinyls from Mondo during their sale, though. I got what's it called?
I don't know.
I told you about it. The
Deathgasm?
Yes, Deathgasm. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the Deathgasm album, and I got the Devil's Candy album.
Okay.
Both pretty chock full of metal stuff. But $15 a piece, free shipping. It was a great deal, too. And then I'm sure you saw my post about the Mephrash album that came in.
Yes, I saw it.
The thing is fucking beautiful. Gorgeous. So much cool artwork illustration in this thing.
I found a local, well, not a local person, but she's in L.A., we tried to get her on the show, but she's a Jen's metal shirts. Well, she does a lot of vinyl and stuff like that. I met her through Big Bald Brian from Ossuary, and I pre-ordered. Trouble is being re-released, remastered by Hammer Hard Records. They've done The Skull, Psalm 9. They've done Manic Frustration. Now they're doing the self-titled next, and I think they're doing one more after that. But I couldn't find the Manic Frustration. I've never owned that on vinyl ever. And tried to ordering it from Hammerheart. Unfortunately, shipping kills the deal. It's like $22 for the record vinyl, but it was like, you know, another $28 for shipping. You know, it's crazy.
I had to pay out the ass for my Gyria and my
Heart
Care for the Sky albums because they came from overseas.
I reached out to her and she was able to get it.
Diarrhea. All I hear is diarrhea.
It's not diarrhea. Gyria.
Speaking of, they're going to do a live stream
of diarrhea
sometime next month. Yeah, they posted about it today. I'm really excited for that.
They're going to just take a shit on TV. What's going on here?
Yep, that's what's going to happen.
You're not ready for that, man.
No. but so I ordered the Trouble album, and it's really cool red, you know, colored vinyl, clear vinyl. But she was cool enough to send me a logo shirt for the band, which I haven't had a Trouble logo shirt since I lost a bunch of weight and I couldn't wear my old one. I was like really happy with that.
It's this guy. He's getting ready for the diarrhea to come.
Yes, he is.
He's got that Taco Belly.
Yeah. Oh God. No, don't say that.
He's like, oh no.
Taco Bell's hitting.
It looks like he's getting the meat sweats is what it looks like.
I also pre-ordered Dead Horse, Horsecore. They're re-releasing it in December. I ordered it straight from the band, remastered, which they put a song out. It sounds great. So I'm excited for that. Very, very cool. So that sort of was tickling my geek. We can move right into that. You know what else is tickling my geek before we move on? We rented the Tick, All the Ticks benefit. They are doing like read-throughs of three different Tick scripts. One from the animated series, one from the Patrick Warburton series, and one from the Amazon series. So we got it. We made it all the way before we started recording up to the Patrick Warburton series. And there's so many cool people on this thing. It's everybody that's ever been involved really in the Tick. It was supposed to include Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, but apparently the last minute he had to cancel out, which sucks. But it's pretty cool. It's if you go Google it, it happened on Sunday, which I totally forgot about it. But we paid for it tonight, and it's going to be running to the 22nd. So if you buy it for $10, and all the money goes to a food bank in L.A., I believe in L.A., and you can watch it up till the 22nd. So if you're a fan of The Tick, definitely recommend it because it's been pretty great.
Cool.
What about, let's start with George. What's tickling your geek?
So I met up with Justin yesterday and he brought me some posters that I ordered a while back.
Did you guys wear masks?
Yeah.
Yeah. We wore masks.
And we had a nice socially distanced conversation out in the parking lot.
Nice.
And I'm very excited to, I took a look at the posters yesterday. Everything looks great.
What'd you get?
I got a Tyler Stout Terminator, a Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
That's cool.
And yet another Star Wars print. And shit, what was the other one?
Well, if you don't have room for all
your... I gave you the Ghostbusters for Christmas.
Oh, Ghostbusters one, yeah, that's right.
Well, if you don't have room for all your Star Wars prints, dude, I know where you can put one.
I mean, do you even have wall space, Carrie?
No, but I could.
You know what's going to happen is Justin and I, we're going to pitch in and getting you like your very first alternative movie print, and then you're not going to be able to stop buying them.
No, that's a problem.
What happened to Justin? He came over and I started showing him all these alternative movie prints, and now that's all he does. He's like surpassed me in the whole.
Is that the actual George title for the collection? Is it alternative movie prints?
Well, I mean, they are alternative movie prints.
Right, but is that officially what they're called or anything?
I mean, there's a great Facebook group called Alternative Movie Prints that showcases a lot of the really good art.
Okay.
And they look at new stuff every week. But, you know, there's a bunch of different websites that sell stuff, and artists sell stuff individually by themselves. And
yeah,
basically any movie you love, you can probably find at least one poster for it.
I was trying to find a way to not call it Mondo because it's everyone just kind of nonchalantly calls it Mondo. It's officially licensed posters.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah.
Not part of the
Mondo is just like the brand name that's sort of been a
rollout. Basically, what I was trying to get at.
Right,
Mondo is just one of many companies that does this. They're probably the most famous because they've been around the longest doing it. But they're based out of Austin.
It's also, like that. It's like that brand name that's associated with shit. You know.
Yeah. The Xerox of alternative.
The Kleenex of posters.
That's what we're gonna start calling Mondo on the Facebook.
No, but there's a lot of great companies that do it. I mean, you got Bottleneck Gallery up in New York and Hero Complex Gallery. I think they're in Chicago. And then Gallery 1988, they're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, part of them.
There's a lot of different places that do them. And, I mean, there's even people that just collect, like, comic book art. GMA, Gray Matter Art, does primarily comic book-related things. Sometimes they dip their toe in, like, comic book movies as well. Mm. But mostly it's just comic book characters or comic book related stuff. But there's a lot of cool stuff. I got into it because I love the movie The Witch, and I wanted a The Witch poster. And when I went to find just the standard, this is the one we put up in the theaters, film posters, those were going for more money than the alternative posters were. So I saw an alternative that I liked that was more affordable and bought it. And ever since then, I've just kind of been decorating my house with more and more posters. And yeah, I got really into it, probably more so than George even is. And I'm very heavily invested in the community, and I made a lot of friends. I have to say, poster community is the least toxic online community I've ever been a part of. Everybody's supportive, everybody's fun and enjoys the hobby. And even if it's artwork they don't like the worst they do is call it cabbage and make fun of it. Like, there's no hostility between other poster people because somebody likes something and somebody else doesn't.
Unlike Funko groups and video game collecting groups and all this bullshit.
Or even groups that are people that are fans of movies. Like, I'm in a bunch of horror groups. Those are the worst people. Like, every other day, it's like, do you like Midsommar or Hereditary? And I'm just like, fuck, why am I in this group? I'm about to leave. Because it turns into, like, this 300-line argument about which one's better.
It's Midsommar.
I agree.
So anyway, I got those and I bought some frames, and I'm excited to flatten them out and frame them up.
Don't say frames around my wife, because she always gets frustrated. She's like, you have to buy another fucking frame. I'm sure your wives are like the same.
Well, I mean, she likes going to Michael's. So
my wife hates going to Michael's.
Erica has almost as many prints as I have, so she's not.
That's true. She does.
She collects these just as much as I do, so she's very happy to buy frames and stuff like that.
A little pro tip for you, if you find yourself going to Michael's yet again and the frames aren't on sale, you can always use Hobby Lobby's 40% off coupon at Michael's.
Really?
Oh, cool.
So,
because I will not go into Hobby Lobby, that's for sure.
Hey, but you can still use their coupon to save money at Michael's.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll screw them. They don't believe in Hanukkah or some shit.
But Michael's rewards, Michael's actually started a rewards program, which is pretty great.
Oh, did they?
I get like free $5 coupons all the time, and you can apply them to existing deals already. So a lot of the time they have buy one, get one, or even buy one, get two frame deals, and then you can apply your coupons to those as well.
That's cool. Yeah, all right.
There was one week I bought like 7 frames for like $40.
That's pretty good.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's one of the banes of my existence as a artist, is I'll complete a piece and be like, fuck, now I gotta go buy frames again.
What's tickling your geek, Dave?
Well, kind of along that same line, it's actually something from a few weeks ago, but I'm just now getting a chance to do anything about it. Humble Bundle, I don't know, about a month ago, I guess, they had like $2,500 worth of Corel art and design software.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like add-ons, brushes, like all that kind of stuff. I got the whole set for $30.
Yeah.
So I've got so I'm a broke ass artist. My most recent art software that I use and is the Adobe Suite CS4. Okay, this is like 12-year-old software.
I got you beat. I'm using Photoshop 7.
I'm an artist. This is my job. I'm an artist and a designer. Like, I do this shit every day, and I'm using 12-year-old software. So I'm excited to have new stuff to play with. And
the Corel Draw, is that what their program is?
They have a whole suite. They've got a bunch of stuff, and this has all of it. So their Corel Draw was in there. It's a Corel Draw has gone to subscription base.
Oh, has it?
I hate that shit.
So is all the Adobe shit is.
Yeah, but Corel Draw has gone to subscription base, so I haven't started using it yet because I don't want to activate the subscription on it yet. Mm. But they also have Corel Painter, which is just a more direct art creation, and then they've got like photo manipulation apps, and there's a Corel CAD is in there, which I don't know if I'm going to have a whole lot of use for that. I need to get into it and see what all I can do with it. But it was a really good deal though. I mean, you can't art software and design software is very expensive.
It really is. Humble Bundle does some really cool bundles sometimes.
Yeah.
And it all goes to charity too.
And the other cool thing that I really like about them, I've bought stuff from them multiple times in the past. This was the most I had before this. I hadn't done anything with them for a while, but I have bought a number of bundles from them in the past. And one of the things I really like about how they operate is when it's generally pay what you want, and then at different donation tiers, you get access to higher level stuff. But then you decide how your donation gets split. So you get to tell there's sliders at the bottom before you check out that you tell them, okay, well, I want this much of my donation to go to this charity and this much to go to this charity. I want this much to go to Humble Bundle themselves. I want this much to go, you know, that. So I really appreciate that they give the user the control over how they want their donation to be split up. I really appreciate that. So I feel like they're a pretty good organization. I haven't heard anything about them that makes me think that they're fishy, but I'm not saying it's not out there, but it seems to me like they're pretty up and up. They tend to team up with like Extra Life and Electronic Freedom Foundation, and they really cover a wide gamut of charities that they work with. So they'll probably be supporting. If you ever see something that they're running a special on, they're probably connected to some charity or another that you would probably feel okay giving money to. And if you don't want to give money to the charities, then you can just give it all to Humble Bundle and they'll appreciate you for it.
Right.
So
yeah, I've got some great stuff off of there. They mean, they've even had like Switch and like PlayStation bundles before, you know, which is, it's pretty rare when they do that, but most of my Steam collection is from Humble Bundle.
A lot of my Steam collection is also from Humble, and that's kind of how they started, was they were doing indie game bundles, most of them Steam activated. But, I mean, they do digital book bundles now and comic bundles and
they
professional resource bundles, and they do all kinds of shit now.
Yeah, so. A lot of, like right now I'm looking at it as like a photo editor, AI powered, there's like dev, a lot of developer tools too, yeah. You know?
I've seen a lot of that recently.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. What about you, Justin? What's tickling your geek?
Well, like I mentioned before, I'm excited about the Gyria Live show. Really become a huge fan of that band this year. Like, I've listened to that album more than anything else, and it's definitely my favorite album. I won a hoodie off of them in one of their online things, so I'm excited to get that.
Your luck is going to change one day, my friend. It's going to change.
Oh, well, I don't know, because like my life has been pretty shitty. I kind of feel like things have turned around for me in the last 3 years, and just been nothing but good stuff. So I'm sure that my extreme luck will even out eventually. But like the last couple of months have been exceptional for me, and I'm just enjoying that, I guess. Excited for the Xbox. I get to play that some. Excited for Thanksgiving because I've been doing keto for the last 2 months, which is working. I've lost some weight, which is great. But for Thanksgiving, I'm taking the day off and not eating Thanksgiving food. I am eating pizza. So very much looking forward to that.
You did it on Halloween too, right?
I did it on Halloween too. I've decided that I'm going to allow myself one day a month to eat something I really enjoy.
Yeah.
And then every other day, it's pretty much just eggs and, you know, turkey.
If you don't do that, you're not going to... You're not. You're gonna fall off the wagon. You're just like, like, fuck this, I'm just going to eat what I want now. You have to let yourself have that cheat. You know what I mean?
You know, I did keto before a couple of years ago, and it worked. I lost the weight, but it drove me crazy because I was having to go into the office all the time, and like, there's not really convenient keto options eating at work and stuff like that. So it was really hard to not just eat food from fast food places and stuff. But since I've been in quarantine and I'm at home, it's much easier to like get up and cook eggs in the morning and then, you know, make myself a cheese wrap with some turkey at lunch. And then for dinner, cook, you know, something a little more substantial.
I found this really great keto bread at Aldi's. It's like 2 net grams of carbs per serving. There's a lot of options. I still stay pretty keto friendly. You know, I'll cheat every once in a while, but like the other night we went to La Madeleine, I had like half a sandwich, you know, but real bread. But yeah, I mean, you could, there's so many cheats out there and for keto that, I mean, that still taste really good too.
Yeah. I mean, I've decided because I'm the kind of person that once I start down a path, it's really hard for me to stop.
Yeah.
So I don't want to like eat the keto bread or whatever and stuff like that, because I feel like it'll just make me say, well, this sucks. I really want real bread. And then I'm eventually going to work my mindset back to eating real bread. So I'm really just sticking to proteins and the vegetables that are extremely low carb and cheese and eggs, obviously. Yeah. But the mindset of only eating one day a month of whatever I want really seems to be working for me. So I'm sticking with it.
It seems to me that from my limited experience compared to yours, but also the experience of people that I'm close to who have done it, is that those break days can kind of help overcome plateaus as well. Mm-hmm. That it almost like kickstarts you a little bit. If you start to plateau and you kind of take a day or two and then get back on it, it seems like it helps.
Yeah, because it restarts the whole ketosis process and kicks it into overdrive. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. I think I'm probably down 30 pounds or so since I started doing it 2 months ago. So it's working. All my pants are looser. All my shirts are looser. Just got to stick with it.
Very cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with me again tonight. Let's get into some house cleaning. Let's see. You can find us, of course, on the internet. MetalGeeks.net or MetalGeeksPodcast.com. Hard to say. We're on all your kind of, you know, providers that you find your podcast at. We're on Spotify now. We're on Apple Music, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, any place that you can download a podcast. We're there. Just search for MSRcast Metal Geeks Podcast. We are, of course, part of the ESO network of podcasts. We just go to esonetwork.com or search for them on any of your podcast catchers as well. And you could listen to all the cool podcasts that make up that network. We are on social medias at Metal Geeks on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. I think that's it. Did I forget anything?
Sounds good.
All right, cool. Let's start off with Dave. What about you, guy?
Oh, you can find me by looking for Red Viking Dave, and I'll be on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, etc. And you can check out my artwork, and I don't know what I'm doing next. I just finished a show this weekend, a virtual gallery show. And yeah, I'm not sure what's coming up next. I've got some commission pieces I need to work on, and but I don't know when you can catch me in a more public way.
If you haven't checked out his artwork, it's phenomenal. Your line work is amazing, man.
Thank you.
It is great.
All right. What about you, George?
You can find me on all the social medias at George Tripsis at everything.
At everything? I've never been on that one.
It's a new. Should check it out.
It's like that.
Are you on Parler, George?
I was about to say, is it like Parler?
Name it, I'm on it.
please don't be on Parler.
Yeah, don't be on Parler, dude.
I don't know.
We'll tell you later.
It's Facebook for conservatives.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I'm Justin?
I'm on the very last page of that. That's what it is.
You can find me as Comical JC on Instagram or Twitter. And actually, I should have mentioned this in our Tickling Our Geek segment, but I've been talking to Andy a lot lately, and he is going to purchase a decent microphone.
Oh.
And then hopefully we will be able to record a new episode of Mind Fudge virtually sometime soon.
Oh, wow. This is news for me. Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't find out until a couple of days ago, but he's itching to get back into it. So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to doing some more Mind Fudgery.
Cool.
Very cool. Well, thank you again, guys, for hanging out. And as always, I have one last thing I have to say. Keep it.
Keep it metal.
And
keep it freaky.
Yeah.
That movie actually looks pretty cool, though.
Oh, Dave's like baritone boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That freaky movie does look pretty cool. I will say.
Yeah, I hear good things about that movie, actually.
But keep it geeky. That's the word, right?
I was going to say cheeky, but that works too, I guess.
That works as well. Because you are definitely cheeky, my friend.
Hey-o.
All right. See you guys later.
Good night. Later.
Thanks to listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other Metal Geekery needs, please visit MetalGeeks.net.
Transmission commencing.
This is Wookiee Radio.
Translated for the Wookiee American.
I like that Wookiee.
Your hosts, Ken, Derek, and Mike, bring you the latest news and commentary from the far reaches of the galaxy.
Hold it. Hold it. I said hold it.
Subscribe today on iTunes and Stitcher.
I just assumed he's a Wookiee.
Start listening today, and remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.